That's that. Cheers, motherfucker. Ezekiel J. Kralin writes, this is back in 2007, before my tragic downfall and memory loss and consequent breakup with Larkin, albeit unintended but necessary. The month was January. I was standing just outside the entrance with a leather curtain between myself and Hades, otherwise known as the Hole in the Wall Saloon, having my usual friendly debate with steadfast and proud atheist whose name I forget, but let's call him Alvin. Unbeknownst to me, Larkin is on the other side of the curtain, listening in. Forgot what our conversation was about, possibly Leon Trotsky, who knows, but I bring up the topic of Larkin, which I often do, much to Alvin's and everyone else's chagrin. I hear that Larkin's a nasty drunk. Is that true? Before Alvin can say a word, out pops Larkin from between the black heavy drapes. What? Me, a nasty drunk? Whoever gave you that idea? He exclaims in dramatic prose, towering over me, like a giant about to crush my bones into dust. Whoa, calm down now, I respond in partial laughter and press a flat hand against his darling belly. He's so trim. It was only something I heard. I'm sure it was just gossip. A lot of that goes on around here. Oh, well, that's okay, I guess, retorts Larkin, who lights up a Marlboro while standing between myself and the atheist wonder. It's suddenly rather cramped in this narrow entrance to Satan's lair. Alvin decides to step back inside, where barkeep Gary awaits, along with his bar, stool, and a fresh shot of Makers. I'll leave you two lovebirds alone, he remarks, before vanishing back down the hole. Larkin steps further outside to sit on the fire hydrant and enjoy his smoke. I remain in the doorway, savoring the moment and the chill fog that blankets south of Market. We both gaze at each other while Larkin puffs away. He is the master of silent intercourse, though almost 20 feet apart. I feel like he embraces me with the dearest affection I've ever felt from anyone else's physical hug, so you can imagine how exceedingly delightful his actual embrace can be. Several minutes later, in this beatific spell, I decide to pay my sweetness a compliment. Larkin, my dragon, I want you to know that thanks to your watching over me here at the hole to make sure no one harasses or injures me, I do not need anyone to protect me when I'm elsewhere. Because I care so much about your friendship, I make damn sure I don't get into any messes, so I'll remain all in one piece for your sake. He suddenly jumps up from the hydrant. What? You're saying you don't need me anymore? My protection isn't good enough? And with that, he tosses the still-lit cigarette into the curb and storms right by me and back into the saloon. Obviously, he misunderstands my intent, I think, or maybe I used my words poorly. So I rush after him to apologize and sort things out. Larkin is sitting on his designated bar stool right at the front end toward the doorway and before it makes a 90-degree turn to accommodate two more stools. His ruddy mopped head is lowered in disappointment over a bottle of Budweiser. Sweetheart, I exclaim, that's not what I meant at all. Of course I need your protection and kindness. I always will. You're very dear to me. That will never change. He mumbles over the brewski. Well, that's not how you sounded to me. Leave me be. I don't want to talk right now. But, I interject, leave me alone, I said. I touch his shoulder, but he pushes my hand away. I'm so disoriented and hurt by this unexpected response, I decide to march home to think things through. As I watch the gray sky dim into sunset through my grimy window, I surmise that I absolutely must clear up what seems to me a gross misunderstanding and rejection of my great affections for this wonderful specimen of Gaelic manhood. All capital letters begin that title, capital W and S and G and M. So, in a hurried pace, I trot 9 long blocks back up Market, then 8th Street, and into the hole, and to my beloved. By the time I arrive, it is nightfall. Along the way, I purchase a gift of $40 worth of marijuana in hopes this will soothe his jangled nerves. Mine are already too jangled to deserve that the bag of pot I just purchased is nothing but a mix of stale oregano and dried dandelion leaves plucked from a vacant city lot. There's my Larkin at his usual bar stool, chatting up what appears to be a Vietnamese or Thai twink, T-W-I-N-K, twink. So I approach them and address my better third, Randolph being the second. Excuse my intrusion, but I really need to talk with you, Larkin. Fuck off. demands the Southeast Asian twink, who no doubt feels quite full of himself at this moment, considering the undivided attention showered on him by my bodacious hunk of a dragon. Larkin must be desperate for someone to buy him drinks, I silently observe. Ready to bust out in peals of hilarity, I apologize to the rice proof. Sorry, I will only take a minute, then you'll have this gutter tripe gigolo back in your arms again. Larkin stands up and pulls me a few feet away from the bar stool. Okay, what's going on, Jane? I stare up at those dark, smoldering, orange-red eyes and his fiery crown of auburn hair. Talk about Ireland's greatest glory. Were his visage impressed upon the Blarney Stone, everyone in the world would give up their life savings to travel across the globe on their hands and knees, dressed in rough, scratchy, bloodletting horsehair burlap just for a single kiss. Larkin, I begin, I am so sorry to upset you, but I think you misunderstood me. I was paying you a compliment. Maybe I chose my words wrong. I don't know. But the last thing I ever want to do is cause you any grief or anger. My dragon says nary a word, but keeps looking down upon my trembly soul with a pensive finger to his chin. So I continue. What I meant to say was how much I appreciate your kind company and protection whenever we're together. Then I choose my remaining words most carefully. And that when we aren't together, I'll make damn sure to stay out of trouble, to cause you as little worry as possible. I then extend my right hand to offer the entire baggie of ersatz marijuana, which, most unfortunately, he pushes back into my chest. Sorry, most fortunately. Right, because it's not real weed. Apology accepted, I beg. Oh, all right, he replies, then adds, just before returning to his free drink, twink link, just don't do it again. I notice a wry slip of a grin on his darling mug. What's up with that? Well, now that I'm back at the hole, I figure I may as well toke up back here and enjoy the night, the music, the alcohol, and, of course, Larkin's antics. Then it hits me. I've been punked. Larkin never was upset. He's just having a bit of mischief at this little dragon's expense. Now that I have it all figured out, what next? In a few minutes, the twink disappears back into the woodwork, and I take up the vacant seat beside Larkin. That puts me to his left, by the way. Set my vodka tonic down close to his Coke and whiskey and watch my darling trickster carom a green stripe billiard ball into a corner pocket. Coyly, I polish his barstool seat with a clean napkin before he returns to await his next round at the table. That's better, he remarks upon seeing me wipe a patch of debris from his chair. Now seated, he notices the proximity of my well drink to his, so with a deft hand propels my glass down the bar top like the expert barkeep he will never be. Not a slow wit myself, I halt the drink with my outstretched left hand. Smooth moves on both our parts. I want so badly to enfold him in my arms, bless him with infinite kisses. Instead, I say, asshole, to which he abruptly replies, motherfucker. M-U-T-H-U-H, F-U-K-K-U-H. Another patron standing close by grins beatifically. He witnessed our little skit from start to finish. Now jump ahead 5+ years. Remember that we've hardly associated most of those years, or at least it seems that way due to my memory loss, until just several weeks ago. Remember Chapter 2, where we're back together again after so very long, talking even at Moby Dick, and I buy him a drink. Larkin raises his glass and clinks it against mine. Cheers, asshole, he declares. Of course, ditzy little space cadet that I am, I think I heard him say, you're an asshole. Not that I'm offended by that remark, but those are the words I thought he spoke, so I reply with a shrug. Well, I don't think I'm an asshole, but whatever. To which he quickly responds, I said, cheers, asshole. Oh, yeah, I chuckle. Then clink my glass right back at him. Cheers, asshole. Isn't till later that night, long after I'm departed from Moby Dick, that I realize the reference he intended. He had reversed the two expletives from that twinky evening over 5 years ago to this present time, where he said, cheers, asshole, and I was supposed to reply, cheers, motherfucker. That's my beloved, sharpest dragon in the pack. Larkin, I can't wait till the next time I buy you a drink. Make it soon, please. Please, 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 please. Please, 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 motherfucker. And that's part one of chapter four of Free Me From This Bond, the book by Ezekiel J. Krylin. And Ezekiel himself will pick it up from that point on the phone on next week's show and finish that part of the story for you.